morning, he only gave us half the points, so we all had to come back to see the rest of the message.
Right.
So he knows what he is doing. But he's going to sing for us tonight and then continue his message. Do pray for him. Pray for your hearts as he preaches.
Well, good evening, everybody. Oh, it's good to see all of you. It's a good crowd here on Sunday evening. And Matthew, where is Matthew? Where'd that young man? Stand up. Where are you? There. Oh, you're right. You're guarding the door or something. That was good. And you're 16 years old, right? You wrote that first book in the New Testament, is that it? No, it's a different guy, wasn't it? I was talking with Matthew today and just asking what God was going to have him do. Let's stop and pray for Matthew right now. Would you join me? Oh, Lord, thank you for Matthew singing. That was so wonderful. Oh, Lord, I'm glad that Jesus is calling and that he wants everybody. I know you want everybody to just come home to you, Lord. And so we pray, Lord, that you'll direct Matthew in his life and our whole church and all of our young people. Thank you for our young people and all of our parents and grandparents. Thank you for our pastor. Oh, Lord, what a good day you've given us here. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, Brother Matthew. Here's a song entitled, Look for Me at Jesus' Feet. If I leave this world of sorrow sometime before you do, just look for me in heaven and we'll talk the ages through. But if at first you fail to see me, let me tell you where I'll be. I'll be thanking Christ, my Savior, for saving a wretch like me. But if you should reach that city before my time has come, perhaps you'd like to greet me when my race down here is run. Just wait, for I'll soon be coming across life's ebbing sea. And I'll tell you now, dear loved one, just where to wait for me. Don't look beneath the gates of pearl. Don't look on the streets of gold. Don't look by the walls of jasper, nor among the many sights to behold. For I'm longing and I've been waiting for the precious Holy One to see. There I'll be through the countless ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. There I'll be through the countless ages. Look for me at Jesus' feet. Amen. Bless the Lord. Well, let's open our Bible to 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13. And I so appreciate you being back for this Sunday evening service. 5:30 Sunday evening service. And choir, thank you for singing. I noticed how the choir sing loud, sing soft, had some good dynamics, and sang a good song, a song written by a fellow named Mac Lynch, a young man. Well, he's not as young, because he's older than I am. I forgot. He was a young man. At one time, Mac Lynch was a young man. He's not a young man anymore, I don't guess. But I'll tell you, he wrote a great song, The Steps of a Good Man Are Ordered by the Lord. And I appreciate the choir singing that. And Brother Tyler, thank you for all you've done to host me, fed me. You've kept me to being a fed-up preacher, man. And I appreciate that very much. And all of you folk that have been so kind to me, I appreciate it very much. Miss Mara playing the piano did a wonderful job with that. Maybe at invitation we'll have Matthew repeat that song. That was really, really great. I'll tell you, it's wonderful to see young people wanting to serve God. Now let's see how many teenagers, 13 to 19. Stand up, please. 13 to 19. Hey, you got to stand up. Yeah. And that was fast. No crutches, man. Good. Yeah. Maybe we'll have a healing service. I don't know. Yeah, look at all these. Just stand up a minute. Let me just look. Yeah, they're not getting along. They're all kind of separated. You know, they're not getting along to it. They look great, don't they? Oh, got one over here. I almost missed you. That's right. You told me you was 14. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. You may be sitting. Let's just find out what other age groups we might have. Let's find out. 19-year-olds again. You're in this group too. Technically, millennials are supposed to be 19 to 35 years old. If you're in that millennial age group, 19 to 35, would you stand? Oh, it's another notable group. And they look good too. All right, you may be seated. All right, if you're 12 and less, let's have you stand. 12 or less. Yeah. Figure out how old you are. Yeah, I got some back here. Yeah, I got this guy right here. I got one. Now, how old are you? 12. Okay, so you're right at the very top of this group. Yeah. Oh, we got several back there. Oh, they look good. Now, did all of you kids brush your teeth today? Did you do that? Did any of you kids have cereal today? Raise your hand if you had cereal today. Any of the children have cereal? No cereal? All right, one of the children, tell me, what's your favorite cereal? What is your... We got to get to the preaching, man. Somebody tell me. Who... All right, you're not a teen, you're not a child. What's your favorite cereal? Fruit Loops. I figured so. Yeah, Fruit Loops. Yeah. Yeah. Good choice. I like those things. My wife likes those things. Yeah. Any of you kids eat cereal? If you've ever eaten cereal in your whole life as a child, raise your hand. Okay, thank you. Good, you have. You may be seated. I'm getting concerned about the cereal eating around this place. Well, let's get into the Word of God. I will mention that we got these CDs and books out there. About 30 minutes after the service ends, I'm not going to be in a big hurry, but about 30 minutes afterwards, I'm going to get on the road and drive to Charleston. I'm driving home the rest of the day. I'm going home to see my wife, man. So I'm not going to stay here. I'm going to get a little closer to her tonight. And I'm about 9 hours plus drive home. And I just kept getting further and further away from home on this trip. Now, I'm looking forward to being home. And so, I'm not in a big hurry to get out of here. But if you want some of these CDs, do it quickly after the service, if you would. Bible Songs for Kids. This is volume one. Bible song. This is scripture set to music, word for word, right from our Bible. Now, sometimes we've allowed phrases to be repeated to get the meter all worked out. But like number six on this one. Number six on this one is parents' favorite and grandparents' favorite. What is number six? Children, obey your parents. That's a good song right there. You know what I'm saying? Come here, boy. Sing that song for us. Yeah. And for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16 to music. And then here's a wonderful CD. I'll be a friend to Jesus. You would love that. And then, of course, the books out there. They're any size donation. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 18. 1 Kings 13, verse 18. Let me ask you a question in verse 18. He, who is he? That old preacher. You got it. Said unto him, who is him? Oh, he is the young preacher. He said unto him, I'm a prophet also. The old man said, I'm a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. We see an old preacher fall. Spiritual fall. Spiritual failure. I don't know. Was it pride? What was it?
It caused him to fall. But you know, Christians are supposed to be going forward, not falling back. It's always onward. Remaining a baby Christian is not honoring to the Lord. Now, we love baby Christians right here. Let me give a shot at this. Cotsadale. Huh? Cotsadale? No T. Huh? Forget it, man. I appreciate that. I really do. We're going to come back and rename this section of America. Fox Creek, you know. We'll find a creek someplace. Wow. Yeah, by the time I leave, I might be able to say that one time correctly. Look, our church wants to always go forward, and we want baby Christians. We want baby Christians. We want to see people saved. Every Christian in this room started as a baby Christian. Our pastor, he started as a baby Christian. Brother Tyler started as a baby Christian. Our song leader, our choir director, our pianist, all of our leaders, our folk up there in the sound room. Every Christian started as a baby Christian, but it's not God's will for us to remain baby Christians. Let's go forward, forward, all life long. And really, becoming a mature believer is a lifelong pursuit. It takes the lifetime. I mean, look, you can grow a squash in a few weeks, but the mighty oak tree takes years to grow. Do you know that a mouse... Last summer, me and my wife were empty nesters, but a mouse moved in with us. Man, my wife wasn't having that, brother. Mm-mm. She demanded that I evict the mouse. And I did, brother. That mouse is gone forever. I don't know. I got looking up mice. You know, a mouse is fully mature in 40 days. Fully mature. Christian's not fully mature in 40 days. No, no. And this old man in this passage, he should have still been growing as a Christian, but somewhere he had stagnated. He had stopped growing. His growth was stymied somewhere along the way. And he fell. Now, when are we in greatest danger of falling? All right, if you had to fall off a ladder, I don't like where this is going, man. If you had to fall off of a ladder, do you want to fall off the bottom rung or off the top rung? A bottom rung, man. I don't want to fall, first off. Bigger you are, harder you fall. Older you get, the longer it hurts. I don't want to fall. Yeah. But if I had to fall, I want to fall off the bottom. Well, this preacher had climbed that spiritual ladder. At least he should have. And that's where we're in greatest danger of falling as we get mature as believers. It's a great fall. Oh, God. Oh, Lord, please help our congregation not to fall. Any of our mature believers. Let me tell you, our church, the mature believers in this room, we're watching you. We're inspired by you. Oh, some of our mature believers in this room. Maybe you can't do the physical work you used to do. You can't carry the tables. I learned half of Baptist work is carrying tables. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you can't carry tables anymore. But our church needs some wisdom. We need some experience. We need some folk that know God, but not just know God, but know God well. That's our mature believers. A wealth of wisdom for our young folks in this room, the children, the teenagers, and the precious millennials. We had all these groups stand. You that are 36 and up, as you're growing in Christ, don't be like this old fella. He fell. It was a tragic, tragic fall. All right, point number one. And you remember, let me remind you this. Who was the king that had the two little tribes? Starts with an R. Rehoboam. Who was the name of the king with the 10 tribes? Jeroboam. Okay, and there in Jeroboam's kingdom, we had this old man living. And God called a duty to the young preacher. The young preacher went in. He rebuked the king for having the mandatory false religion. The king's arm withered up, was restored. Was the young man supposed to eat anything? Drink anything? No, go get on your beast, go confront the king, get back on your beast, go back home, don't eat anything, don't drink anything. So the young man's on the way home, and the old preacher's sons had said, "Dad, you should have seen this young man that came." This young preacher came and confronted the king, and they told their observations to their dad. And we got to point number one, the lethargy that marked the old preacher's service. He was just lethargic. He was inactive. He was silent. He had thrown in the towel. That's an idiom meaning I quit. I quit. I give up. And we mentioned today that when a man is full of the Holy Ghost, when a Christian is full of the Holy Ghost, they will not throw in the towel. No, God's people are active, and we speak up for the truth. Truth has fallen in the streets in America, but there's one group of people that know the truth, and that's this Bible right here, and we know it, and we better be sharing it. We better be sharing the Bible with our family, with our community. This pulpit needs to remain hot. So you say, well, all of us aren't preachers. Well, you need to be reachers then. Reaching folk with the truth of the Bible. The boys and girls, the young people, every one of us in this army need to go out and make disciples, win folk and disciple folk in the things of God. Well, like a clap of thunder, this old man was condemned. He'd been lethargic all this time. So what does he do? Point number two. The animosity that seared the old man's spirit. The animosity that seared, S-E-A-R-E-D, seared his spirit. Oh, the last words of verse 18. But he lied unto him. The old man was filled with pride, looks like. Refused to be humble. He had been condemned. He is cut to the quick. Now, wait a minute. I said the old man was cut to the quick. How was he cut to the quick? Had the young man come into town and said, I hear there's an old preacher here, and he hasn't raised his voice? No, the young man hadn't done that. Explicitly, the old preacher had not been pointed out. But implicitly, he knew he had failed God. His very own sons had said, you know, Dad hadn't spoke up against this false religion. If a boy has a dad, he ought to have a Christian dad. And that Christian dad ought to be in church. And that Christian dad ought to be on these altars sometimes. And that Christian dad should be putting a tithe in. That Christian dad should be seen reading the Bible. That Christian dad should be seen trying to win folk to Christ. That Christian dad should be seen serving God. Amen to all of that. But this fellow, his very own sons had not seen Dad doing very much lately. He'd been lethargic. And now the animosity that seared his spirit. Oh! And he comes up with this scheme to, listen to this word, he comes up with this scheme to retaliate. Listen to the word. He decides he will retaliate. I'll get revenge. I'll get that young preacher. He's come over here, made me look bad. I'll retaliate. All right. I've been full-time in the ministry 38 years. So that's not a record. There's men with many more years experience, but that's not a complete novice either. In 38 years full time in the service of the Lord, in 38 years, if you're listening, say amen. Amen. In 38 years of ministry, 12 there at a church, and now 27 years as an evangelist, in 38 full time years, I have never seen it work out right one time. I've never seen it work out right one time when a Christian decides to retaliate. Doesn't work out right. I'll get them back. Don't do that. Do not do that. So somebody says some ugly things about you. Well, just cuss them back. Don't you do that. You should never be heard cursing to begin with. Never. So they were completely out of control, so I got out of control too. What? You're supposed to be even-tempered. Remain calm and carry on, man. A few little words going to bother you? Yeah, words can hurt. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's a lie. Words can hurt. They can hurt. But don't give in to retaliation. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let the Lord take care of your critics. Those being mean, of course, defend your home. I believe in self-defense, all that sort of thing. But somebody says something nasty about you. All right. Not last March, but the March before, I was in the vice president's office. Vice President Pence determined when he first became the vice president that every Wednesday at noon he would have Bible study in his office. The White House was like, we can't do that. He said, we're going to do it. So by the grace of God, I was there in the Bible study, and I was to give my testimony how I'd received Christ as my Savior. And I did. Man, I was in the White House, and I'm sitting there. There are about 60 White House workers there and different folks in the room, and I'm sitting there. I've got a little plastic cups as office of the vice president, a little drinking some water out of it, eating a cookie. Just waiting, man. By the way, I kept that cup. I slept beside that cup that night. I don't know where it is now, but I had it for one night, man. I don't know what I did with that thing. Yeah. I showed it to my wife. I said, look at this. Yeah. So I'm sitting beside this fellow. I said, my name is Byron Fox. He told me his name. I said, what do you do around here? He said, I'm one of the White House lawyers. I said, well, sir, I got saved when I was an 8-year-old boy. This White House lawyer said, sir, I was 19 years old when I received Christ. And he began to testify to me. We had a wonderful Bible study. I got to tell folks a little bit about being saved as a boy. That it was the church that came and found me and brought me and let me hear the gospel, and I got saved. We had a young person saved this morning. Praise God. Amen. Our church is all about reaching children, reaching young people, reaching anybody. Well, so I'm in the White House and give them a testimony, all that stuff. I walk out of the White House and some lawyer has gotten my contact information. I walk out and this lawyer begins to harangue me. I'll just tell you a couple things, boy. No. Oh Lord, this man's confused about the things that are important in his life. I did not retaliate by the grace of God. I've been building a relationship with the man. This last January, not this month, but 1 year ago. Now that was March, almost 2 years ago. 9 months later, I'm in Montana driving to church. And this time I get a contact from that lawyer who I've not retaliated against, but I've been building a little friendship with and so forth, trying to. I'm on my way to church in Montana, and the lawyer contacts me on that Sunday morning. And he said, Brother Fox. He has never called me Brother Fox until that day. He said, Brother Fox, my friend is dying. Would you pray? I pulled off the side of the road and said, Tony, I'm praying right now. I'm going to ask the church where I'm going for them to pray for my friend. I'm still in touch with him. I don't know that he's saved yet. Oh, he's professing now, but I don't know that he's possessing now. He still has some pretty weird beliefs. But only by the grace of God, I did not retaliate. I wanted to. How many of you would love to get harangued by a lawyer? No. I figured you would, man. I'll give him your contact information. Y'all can have some Fruit Loops together. Man, I like having you here, man. Right on the front row. That's great. How old are you? 25. A quarter of a century old, man. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Well, don't retaliate. This old man decides to retaliate against the young preacher. Was that the right thing to do? No. His heart was full of animus, hatred, cruelty. I'll get him. A scheme. Don't do this. Do not follow the example of this man. Leave the critics and leave all the vengeance in the hands of God. Amen. Number three. The tragedy that halted this old man's success. The tragedy. This verse. Oh, Lord, this is a tragedy. All of the success this old man has had comes to a screeching halt. What weapon does the old man use against the young man? What weapon? He used his tongue. He used his tongue like a weapon. And he goes over there and he said, "Why, young man, you must be hungry, you must be thirsty, and I'm a prophet too." He adds a little touch of authority. "Young man, I'm a preacher too." And he adds a little divine guidance. He suggests he's got a little divine guidance. "An angel came and told me it'd be fine for you to come eat and drink at my house." Well, so far in the sermon, we've been looking at the old man. Let's look at the young man a moment. The young man hears this old prophet make his statement. He hears the old man make his statement. "Hey, young preacher, you must be hungry and thirsty. Come to my house and eat." God said it'd be okay. What does the young man do? He's got a decision. The young man has a decision. So far, the young man has been doing fantastic. Call to duty, he said, "Yes, sir." He gets on his beast, he goes, he confronts the king, which took stalwart courage. Gets on his beast going back home, he's doing good. And then an old preacher comes along. He said, "Boy, you can believe me. I'm a preacher too. Yeah. Come on to my house. I'll feed you. God said it'd be okay, son." Let me ask you a question. Should the young man have been able to believe the old man? Yeah, he should have. He should have been able to believe him. But it doesn't matter what age man or what age person, if they tell you something contrary to God, don't believe them. "Listen, sir." Young man should have said, "Listen, sir, appreciate you talking to me, but God told me don't eat or drink anything. I'm going to stick with God." It's not what the young man does. This poor young boy, this poor young preacher, says, "Oh, why, certainly, I'll come to your house. I'll eat and drink at your house. Oh, that'd be wonderful." The young man was gullible. Ever been gullible? Everybody in this room's been gullible. Yep, all of us have. All of us have been gullible. All of us. I could tell you about a Chevy Nova I bought one time. You know what I'm saying? I drove it over to my dad's house, and, "Dad, look at this." My dad said, "How much you pay for that?" I told him. I said, "Here's what I paid." My dad said, "That man saw you coming, boy. He took advantage of him. But you let him take advantage of you, son." I had two happy days with that Chevy Nova. Day I bought it and day I got rid of it. You know what I'm saying? Piece of junk. I was gullible. All of us have been gullible at times. Don't remain gullible. Don't remain simple-minded. Do you know the Bible condemns being simple-minded? Some people are so easily to be tricked. You can intimidate them very easily because they're not secure in the Lord. You can trick them because they don't know the Word very well. There's some weird doctrines being taught these days. Somebody put a book in my P.O. box. 13 Bible doctrines no one's ever seen before. There's a reason nobody's ever seen them before, because you're making them up. I was out door knocking not too far from here. And a man said, "Oh, I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you came. You know, Mr. Fox, I've got the code book to the Bible." Sir, there is no code book to the Bible. Quit trying to count every eighth letter and make up a new word and a new doctrine. Stop that. Read the book. When the text makes sense, make no other sense out of it. Better just stay with what the Bible says, trying to find some Gnosticism doctrine. Amen. Well, the young man's gullible. The young man goes. How does that turn out? Young man disobeys God. He goes and he eats. Then he gets on his beast. He wasn't supposed to eat or drink. He gets on his beast. He's going home. What happens? A big old lion. That's exactly right. A lion destroys the young preacher. Word gets back to the old preacher. Word gets back. Because the beast is okay. His animal is okay. But the boy has been destroyed. Boy's been killed by the lion. The judgment of God has fallen. God takes obedience seriously. Amen. So, the boy loses his life. Word gets back to the old preacher. And it looks to me like he begins to scheme again. Because at first glance, it looks rather noble. It looks at least somewhat noble at first glance. Oh, the young man has lost his life. Oh, we'll bury him in my tomb. At first glance, that may look good. But I've been thinking on this. I'm afraid the old man's a coward. And I'm afraid he's scheming again. I'll cover up my sin. I'll make myself look good in spite of everything. We'll bury him in my tomb. I'm afraid the old preacher is a coward. Hey, Jeroboam, that wicked king, he hears about it. Oh, you mean that young preacher who came and confronted me about my sin? You mean after he told me he was not supposed to eat or drink? You mean he went over there and ate and drank with that old preacher? Really? And now his God looks like has killed him? Well, I guess his religion wasn't all that great after all. Does old Jeroboam get to serving God? No, he gets worse. He becomes an even more wicked king. All right, you say, Brother Fox, what does that have for us? Well, here's a few closing thoughts as we get to the end. Number one, God is serious about obedience. Everything God has told you and I to do, we had better be busy doing them. Everything. Everything God said. Listen, there is a reason why we conduct our services the way we do, decently and in order. There's a reason why we do this. It's not by just whim or caprice. There's a reason we dress the way we do. I mean, I dress this way on purpose. It's the same exact kind of outfit I go into the White House with, that I come into the church house with. Brother Fox always in a black suit. What you wearing tomorrow, Brother Fox? Black suit. What you wearing next day? Black suit. When you cut your grass, what do you wear? My blue jeans, okay? I don't cut my grass in these things. But there's a reason why I dress this way. There's a reason why we talk the way we do. We do refrain from cursing. We do refrain from gossip. Why? Because the Bible condemns gossiping. Maybe we should have a whole sermon on how bad gossip is. How bad is gossip, Brother Fox? About as bad as a little toddler walking around with a loaded revolver. It's about how dangerous it is. About as dangerous as a drunkard driving a car. How much damage has gossip done? A lot. The Bible says, whose mouths must be stopped. God hates gossip. Why are we trying to be givers instead of takers? Why are we doing this? Because we're trying to obey God. Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. That's what Jeremiah preached. He preached against selfishness. That's why we're trying not to be selfish. Why we're trying to be humble, not proud. Humble. We're conducting ourselves this way because we want to obey God. Amen, church. That's why. My son, who's now 35 and about to be a dad himself. I'm about to be a granddad next month. Woohoo! Little girl coming, man. Ha! Yeah. She's already got me wrapped around his little finger. We didn't think we were going to have any grandchildren. One day, I mean, my kids didn't think they were going to have any. And after 8 years, you know, just didn't, it wasn't going to happen. And a few months ago, my son called me up and said, "Dad, you're just great, man." I said, "Well, thank you, son. I'm telling you, Dad, you're just great." He said, "You're just grand. You're just a granddad." I said, "Well, thanks, son." He said, "I'm telling you, you're just a grandfather." I said, "Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me something?" He got me good. Yeah. I remember way back, he was a teenager. All you precious, beloved teenagers. I remember way back, my boy, he's a teenager. He said, "Dad, you're just old-fashioned." "Yes, I am." "Dad, those are your convictions, not my convictions." "Yes, that's why, son, as long as you're living in my house, you're going to live off my convictions." It's funny how he's developing some old-fashioned convictions. It's amazing. It's amazing, some clarity that's coming to him now. It's beautiful. There's a reason why we're kind of old-fashioned, is the world. There's some old paths we saints are supposed to go down. And so number one, God is serious about obedience. And if we disobey God, the Lord will not take it lightly. All right? Secondly, aim to finish well. It's not just how you start that counts. It's how you finish that counts too. Maybe this old preacher had started out really good. Have you seen some people start out really good? I have. But I hate to tell you, there's a lot of casualties along the way in the Christian army. One of the men on my ordination council, they interrogated me. I wrote up my doctrinal paper. They read it. I'm a kid. The fellow that sat right across from me, earned doctorate, big church. In his later years, he became a drunkard, lost his ministry, arrested for public intoxication. "You mean the preacher was on my ordination?" "Yes." So it's not just how you start that counts, how you end that counts. Amen. Would all of you like to end well? Amen, son. God bless you, all of you precious folk. Don't be like this old preacher. Our church is as close to God as we want to be. If we'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. Matthew, come. And our pianist, please come. Everybody stand. And Matthew, as soon as you're ready, I want you to come and start singing that song.